This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of the Hoffman Show on Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And before we get to the pick six, I just have to say, Anthony, I did go back and review the tape of my own push-ups, and at least my form looks good. It held. They're all 100. And I did it. By the way, I didn't take the extra time that you gave me. I knocked out 100 before 6 o'clock, even though I didn't spin the wheel till 5:40.
So it took you about 20 minutes?
Yeah, with hosting a radio segment in between.
Well, that too, yeah.
That would have been helpful if I could have taken a mic down there and knocked out like 5 every minute for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That would have been easier than 40 and then 15 every minute on the minute. I'm still a little out of breath.
I'm not going to lie, you worked up a sweat over there, man. You still huffing
and
puffing?
Yeah, I just did 60 push-ups in the commercial break.
Yeah. Nice. But it's a nice pump before you head home.
Sure.
Get the blood going.
I don't know what's more stressful, that or the fact that I bet on the Raiders this week. Let's do the pick six.
Biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick Six at Six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, top headlines of the day. We get started talking about the offensive coordinator. The talking will be done, however, by the coach, the head coach, and the quarterback.
Number one
would be that Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn both were asked questions about Cliff Kingsbury tailoring the offense to his rookie QB. Here was Dan Quinn and his answer.
I think the first part, Nick, was probably like there's an exploring that goes on. And if you go all the way back, there was, you know, reps, you know, what would we feature for Jaden? What would we feature for Marcus? And what routes were he most comfortable with coming in? And so we actually had some that were some of his tips from LSU. And we started from there, and that was 100% from Cliff to say, hey, what are some ones that, you know, coming out of bed, you want this play called, and you know it like the back of your hand. And so we started from there, and then as you added and you felt more comfortable, that's why the reps are so important. And so from walkthroughs and training camp reps, and then you kind of tailor it on both sides of the ball, what's good enough, what's not, what should we hold and wait for later. Some things that we would still be working on now may not be game ready, but there are still concepts that you continue to work, and then also finding the personnel for some of them is really important too.
I think it's great what they've done offensively. Like, it's not exactly rocket science to say, like, hey, what's great for your quarterback? What works for your personnel? How do you maximize what you got? But actually doing it at the level they're doing it is extraordinarily difficult. Like, the theory is not hard. The application is. And they have done a great job with both. And that has made a world of difference for a rookie quarterback who suddenly finds himself, if we're being honest, in the MVP conversation. So how's it been from his seat? Nice and comfy, but occasionally with a little bit of pressure that he sidesteps and turns into a scramble. From the pocket, Jaden Daniels on the comfortability in this offense.
Yeah, I mean, Cliff is very open-minded. Anything that he feels is going to work, or he'll try it out, man. And, you know, kudos to Cliff being selfless, because obviously, you know, it could be that type of person, like, man, this is my system, this is how we're going to run it, this is how we're going to do things. But, nah, he's just back there. He gives us the freedom to go out there and play ball.
Play ball they've done to the tune of one of the best offenses in football. An offense that, with Jaden Daniels at the helm, has more scoring drives, 23, than incompletions, 19, through 4 games.
Number two.
So, all this success surprising a lot of people. Is one of those people Dan Quinn? Seems like a relevant question. I think DQ, if he's being honest, probably had some expectations for this team, but really, day by day, Ray, we're taking it a time. But here you are, 3-1. So, any level of surprise with the success so far?
I'm not surprised. I knew the connection would be the number one thing for us to see if we could play well, how long that would take, how connected this team could get on all three phases. And so the support of one another, all of those things, that's to me, you know, the faster we could do that. And I thought the team's done a good job of fast-tracking the feeling out process, putting agendas to the side, you know, absolutely all-out effort, like those are the non-negotiables that we'd have to have. I think that, you know, the team has got that way faster than you'd say like a more established team, you know, would have some of those things in place. So those are some of the things that don't show up on the stat sheet that I certainly look for.
There's obviously only so many benefits to being in a rebuilding state, because you'd rather be, you know, talented and good and have really great players, because that makes playing football at the NFL level a lot easier. But one of the kind of freedoms they had in completely stripping it down was they had no sacrifices they had to make. Sometimes you have to make a sacrifice for one or two guys because the owner is like, hey, we can't be the worst team in the league. And so you wind up signing one or two guys that maybe you take a little bit of a character guess on. You hope they fit in, but you know realistically you're not going to get exactly what you're looking for. You take a couple more veterans and then some flyers on some young guys. And because there was no pressure here to do any of that, what they were able to do was sign a bunch of young, hungry guys and or the exact veterans they wanted. Like Bobby Wagner's a strategic choice. Zach Ertz is a strategic choice. But also like Alamide Zaccheaus was a strategic choice, not just from his skill set of, hey, here's a real twitched up guy who can make guys miss, he's good in the screen game, great blocker, a perfect character guy. But he's a guy that I think looks at himself in the mirror and is like, I can be better than what I've produced so far in my career. He thinks he's capable of more, but is a great teammate along the way. And those guys are really valuable. But they get passed over for more talented guys often because they might win you, you know, it might help you win one more game this season, even if it's not as good for the team in the long run. And they're not investment pieces. And so I think that difference has actually, and like the theory is what I just said, right? That oh, the more talented, the sacrifice is worth it because you win a couple extra games. In reality, I don't know that you actually do. There are no guarantees, that's for sure. And I think because they've had, you know, 53 down, 63 down, whatever, 70 down with the practice squad, and really, you know, what was it, 90 down in the spring, in the summer, because they have exactly who they want in the building, some of the processes they thought might take a while, and if they have some like dead weight stragglers, do take longer, aren't taking as long. And so there's a benefit of being all into your vision, which they are, especially when your vision is let's be competitive, let's maximize what we've got, and then Adam will worry about getting more as we go through the multiple years of this process. So it's been very cool to see. And in that way, I guess it's not surprising, even if this is surprising based off the talent on the roster.
Number three.
With success, though, comes national attention. Dan Quinn on how the players and his staff don't get caught up in it all.
I'd say the one thing that's it's very easy to support Jaden. And the reason I say that, Chick, because you see it every day in terms of the work that he's, you know, puts in and goes for it. So there's no extra things that you have to say to him in this regard, because like you see the character of what the man is. Had it been up and down and I was worried, I'd have that conversation. But all he has shown all of us since he's been here is like a relentless approach to getting better and staying in the moment. And he's got like a remarkable level-headedness to him that's wise, you know, beyond his age. So if I had concerns, I would have already addressed it. I'm certain of that. But he is a very easy guy as a support, and being on this journey with him and starting with it together, like it's a really cool thing that I get to be a part of with him.
I think it's so well put by Dan, because the guy who's getting the most attention is Jaden. The team is getting attention because they have the rookie number two pick who's playing his face off. And yes, that then does put attention on Terry or Bobby or Zach and like Austin Eckler, these guys that do interviews with, you know, whether it's the Kay Adams show or SportsCenter, NFL Live, you know, whatever the Fox shows are, whatever the NBC shows are. Like, those guys are going to be requested too, and they're going to be asked about Jaden. But when Jaden is out front being humble about it, and he's out front saying, like, the bite I'm about to play for you, things like, hey, I don't really care, I think I'm still a rookie, then it's kind of hard for everyone else to get out over their skis. So Jaden Daniels was asked about the national attention, and this is what he had to say about it.
Yeah.
Nope, that's the wrong way. That's not what he had to say about it. Those would be his keys to beating the Browns. We'll get there eventually. Here's his answer on the paying attention to the stats. And by the way, jersey sales, he's the number one selling jersey in the league so far this season, etc.
Yeah, I mean, thank God to be able to be in that position, be able to impact people's lives and stuff like that. But, man, the main thing is keeping the main thing, man, that's football. How can I get better each and every week? Not get caught up in what people are saying or anything, because none of that really matters, because I could be playing good and playing bad and people be thinking the opposite. So it's staying level-headed, go out there and just focus on what's up, what's now, and be where my
got to be where your feet are. I'm a big fan of keeping the main thing. The reason he's getting all this praise is because he's playing well. If he likes it, then you got to keep playing well. That's how the game works. Jaden understands that at a young age. When we get back, we'll give you some of those keys to beating the Browns, including what home field advantage can do. We will get to the back half of our pick six next on the Team 980.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And Clary is out in the bullpen doing bicep curls with a kettlebell. I have so many questions. Starting off with, why is there a kettlebell upstairs?
Yo, I don't know. Where do you get that from?
I don't know.
He is really working out over there.
Why do you have a kettlebell? You shrugged. Yeah, he just flexed on him. Sure. Now he's embarrassed. Ryan just turned the color of something that's very red. I mean, he's coming down with the kettlebell. Excellent.
He is red.
Yeah, let's make sure we got a camera set up here. Because Clary is now coming to the studio. We'll get to the back half of our pick six in a second. Yeah, I was just sorry. I get very distracted. Take a seat, sir. It's a fitness adjacent thing. So you know it was going to have my attention. Ryan Clary, everybody, producer for Grant and Danny. Why do you have a kettlebell?
So this is kind of like my thing. Like I can't really sit still.
Is that a thing? Yeah, I can relate.
Yeah, like, and I'll just kind of see some things around the office. We have weird, like, random tennis balls, golf balls.
Yeah, we have lots of stuff.
And I found a kettlebell the other day, and
Did you find the kettlebell?
Literally just sitting in the studio. And so I was like, you know what? During breaks and while the other show, Grant and Danny, are doing their thing, I'm going to start doing some lifts and get some workouts.
So you're getting some bicep curls.
So I'm doing some bicep curls, and I found out that I can really work out my lower portion of my bicep. I don't know exactly what that is called, but it works it out real well, and it gets me a good pump.
There you go. Well, I have a great pump right now because we did our competition Wednesday earlier. That giant wheel right there, one of the things that's on it is 100 push-ups, and that's what I had. So I did about 100 push-ups between 5:40 and 6 o'clock today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You're okay.
That will also work your biceps. I actually don't feel great, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I I don't feel my best that I've ever felt while hosting the show. But now I know that there why actually I don't know why there's a kettlebell, but at least I know that you found it a couple days ago.
I did find. I'll you can use it as well. You can always.
I think I'm okay.
But I mean, you I just appreciate did 100 the invite. So.
Yeah, no. If we need something, I don't, maybe we'll replace it with kettlebell swings, Anthony.
Seriously,
goblet squats. I've made many workouts for folks with kettlebells.
It's, yeah, so kettlebell you know, workouts are really good. I've learned over the last week. So
done many of remote programming for clients on the fitness side of my life when they're like, "What do you have? Kettlebell? Okay, cool. So if you need something, let me know."
Trust me, I want to take all the workouts because you'll see me out there doing them from here on out.
All right, that's good to know. Now I won't get as distracted. It's just gonna become part of my normal. It's Ryan Clary, everybody. Now we're gonna hear more from Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels. Because that's allegedly what people like on radio shows. All right, pick six time, number, what are we on? Oh, it's the back half, so it's number four, because we've done three of them.
Number four.
All right, continuing with Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn's day in front of the mics. Jaden Daniels is obviously week over week, just continue to get better and better. It's actually insane how good he has been every week, and then the next week he comes back and you're like, okay, he's been great, but what about this other thing? Can he do that? Proves it. You know, whether it's throwing over the middle, keeping his eyes up when he scrambles, you know, staying in the pocket a little bit longer, throwing deep balls. Every question seemingly has been answered. So, of course, the logical question is, what's next? Here's Dan Quinn.
That's a great question by you. I would say that staying consistent in this process, like staying in this pocket of the people, you know, that he's getting ready. And so now that you've established a routine of what that looks like, that you're just able to stay into that spot over the long haul, like here we are just starting October. And so like staying in that process and having routines for any ball player or coach too, it's really important. So that way you don't kind of get out of whack. All of a sudden you could miss something and then you're out of whack. So for him, the process that he goes through, he's very strict about it. And I think that's a big part of him just staying in that pocket. But he's such a fantastic teammate. The guys are here to support him in just about any way you could.
And that's the thing. He doesn't actually need to get better. He just needs to keep doing what he's doing. And that is both encouraging and also it's like, okay, well, how do you do that? Because the task is going to change week over week in terms of what you are trying to do as a rookie because your teams have more tape on you. Like, it's just the reality that week over week over week over week, teams are going to have a better understanding of what it is that you do well and then have ideas to stop it. And some of those ideas are going to be things that you've never seen before. So for Jaden, how is he trying to make sure he keeps that growth mentality despite the meteoric start to his season?
Keep improving, finding little ways to keep growing. I wouldn't say it's a finished product, but, you know, it's just a start. And I mean, I don't really look at everything that people talk about. I mean, I see it, but other than that, man, none of that matters. That was last week's stuff. You're only as good as the last game you played, and everybody's going to look at what can you do the week prior, and the weeks after that.
Yeah, it's a week-to-week league, as we've said on this show quite a bit, and is certainly not an original thought. But we always want to say, oh, what's the trend? What's this? What's that? Myles Garrett can ruin your trend. The Baltimore Ravens can ruin your trend. And we could be here in a couple of weeks and we're talking about something very different. But at the end of the day, like, he has the right mentality. They're not always going to get the execution right, but I feel really confident in where they're going because of where his head is.
Number five.
Also, his head has been able to stay on straight because it hasn't been getting blasted by defensive linemen taking it off as they come on pressure. Dan Quinn on the offensive line and the job that Bobby Johnson, who was probably his most controversial hire, has done so far this season.
Yeah, I think the first thing for he and Darnell and Shane, they've got a nice crew of these guys that work with the offensive line. And that position, you know, the skill work, it's over and over again. So to see these guys drilling pre-practice, post-practice, the connection of them all together, I love seeing like Allegretti and Biotic on the sideline together, talking it through, like encouraging one another. And that position has so much cohesion that's needed to communicate on every play. It's going to even improve more. And we put a lot of stress on those guys, calling things at the line of scrimmage, changing plays, different snap count, all of it that goes into it. So, yeah, we're certainly pleased with the start of the guys. And we feel like, you know, we're on the way up in that space.
You know, something I mentioned during camp that just popped back into my head, listening to Dan talk about that and thinking about the job that Bobby Johnson has done, is this is a staff that mostly had never worked together before. And Cliff's ability to bring in Lynn as an Anthony Lynn, Bobby Johnson, Brian Johnson, keep DaVita Pritchard, on down the list of assistants and quality control guys and this guy and that guy. They have a big staff, mostly who didn't know each other. Like, Cliff had worked with David Rye, the tight ends coach. That's it. And in camp and in the spring, their drills, their ability to substitute personnel, everything was seamless. Like, they did not mess that stuff up. And that tells me how good of a communicator Cliff is. His ability to just get everybody on the same page has been tremendous, and to integrate different systems, different schemes, different ideas into what has become a commander scheme. It is brilliant stuff. But it doesn't get done without great communication. And so those guys deserve a ton of credit. And then obviously making sure the offensive line has the support it needs. One, they're playing really well. They deserve credit on their own. But some of the chipping and ways that they varied snap counts and drops and this and that and the other thing to make that their job a lot easier, it just shows you the power of coaching when it comes to offensive line play.
Number six.
Last but not least, home game this weekend. Jaden Daniels obviously has played one game at Northwest Stadium. Time for a second, and it could be in front of one of the best home crowds we've seen in years, something he is very much looking forward to after feeling the love on the road the past 2 weeks.
I'm for sure looking forward to playing at home. Obviously, we want all the support, you know, packed out, sold out stadium. So we'll appreciate if all the fans come out this weekend and show the real home field advantage. But it's great, man, the traveling that the fans are doing, you know, how deep they're coming. How deep they're traveling and stuff like that. So, I mean, I appreciate the fan base for sure.
It's been kind of a funny thing the last bunch of years. Like, Commanders fans still travel really well, unless they're traveling to Landover. But I do think that's changing. I do think that is has a mat. Like, this is one of the most important months on the home crowd front that this team has had since December, like 2015. I guess December 2016 and 17, they were competitive for those years when Kirk was here, and you know there was a chance to get some big home crowds, and there were some pretty solid games during that stretch. Obviously, 2012 was a completely different animal, but you want to get past all that 2015 stuff, past any other time. Obviously, when they won the division when Rivera was here, that was during the COVID season, so there were no fans. But you want to go back to like the 2012 stuff. Go out and beat the Browns thoroughly this weekend. Compete with the Ravens, even if you wind up losing. Just compete in Baltimore. Then you got Carolina and Chicago. You win these three home games, and you do a couple of it convincingly, and you put on a show. This fan base is going to be roaring in November for the remaining home games in November, December, and January. And that would be sick. I would love to go to a very loud stadium in Landover filled with burgundy and gold, and they certainly have a chance to solidify that. And I think Jaden is the kind of guy, obviously, that can do it, and because he's the quarterback and we've seen how he's played, but he seems to feed off that energy. Look at his home games at LSU. That dude played out of his skull in some of those. And even, frankly, in some of the most hostile road games, he was incredible at Tuscaloosa, for instance. So it's going to be really fun to watch. I'm excited for this weekend. We'll be there, and then we'll have the Take Command postgame show with me and Logan live from Northwest Stadium afterwards, probably around 5:30, 6:30, somewhere in there once we're done in the locker room. So make sure you're tuned in on YouTube at the Team 980 for that, or subscribe to the Take Command podcast feed for the audio as soon as we get that flipped around. As for us here live on the radio, that is our pick six in the here and now. Six biggest storylines of the day every day at 6 o'clock. We get back, playoffs rolling on in the WNBA. We will take a peek at what happened in last night's action. The champs in an 0-2 hole. Do they have what it takes to pull themselves out? We'll discuss next on the Hoffman Show on the Team 980 and always live on the free Odyssey app. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, if you like, at the Team 980. You can always rewind during the show there or on the Odyssey app. Audio, video, we are available on demand during the show. And, of course, we're available on demand after the show, before the show. It's kind of what on demand means. You can't You can't fast forward to a part of the show that hasn't happened yet. That's not how time and space work. However, if you miss any part of the show from any part of the week, we are available on the podcast as well. Just search The Hoffman Show in your favorite podcast app for that. And don't forget, Take Command comes at you now four times per week, five times per week. We have our instant reaction show. We have our two main pods, and then we have our Take Five is back as well. So the 5-minute edition of Take Command, which, by the way, last week, Anthony, last Friday, we had Logan. We went full Professor Paulson. We had Logan explain the difference, and he got real into the weeds between gap scheme runs and zone runs.
Oh, I know all about those.
What's the difference?
See, I don't know if we're going to have enough time in the show for me to tell you the difference.
So people should just listen to the podcast Logan did? Yeah,
yep.
Okay.
Yep.
That's a good call, audio.
Oh, man. That was good.
That was good.
That was good. Coming out of my mouth.
Do
you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Anyway, apropos of none of that, the Las Vegas Aces lost last night. New York Liberty really took, like, it was a weird game, Anthony, because watching it, I kept going, the Liberty are so clearly the better team right now. They are outplaying the Aces in every single way. And then you look up, and you look down, more specifically, at the scoreboard, and you'd be like, it's 6? It's 8? They got time to come back. And sure enough, they did, down 3 late in the game, and they can't get the ball inbounds on a kind of a bizarre play. I hated that call. If you didn't watch, the WNBA has a rule that the NBA should have, and basketball everywhere else should have, which is when they go back to the monitor and they review an out-of-bounds call, see who it's out on. If they realize, whoopsie-daisy, we missed a foul, they don't have to necessarily call the foul, but don't rule the ball out off a player who the only reason it went out off them is because they got fouled. The WNBA has the ability to do that. And so down 3 late, the Aces try to inbound to Kelsey Plum. She takes some contact, and the ball goes out on her, off her shoulder, and they call the ball out of bounds to Vegas and then review it, and then they overturn the call. If that had been New York's ball initially, I think that you probably stay with the call on the floor. It's questionable whether it's a foul, but I don't think there's enough there to overturn that if they were like, hey, that, I mean, obviously the ball went off of Plum, but it also might have hit off the New York player's fingertips and there might have been a foul. So I didn't love that, but at the end of the day, the Aces didn't really deserve to win that game, and that is the bigger story. And I thought Becky Hammon's comments after the game were pretty interesting because she said, you know, the entire league, Becky Hammon, the coach of the Aces, the entire league has been ticked off for 8 months while my players are going and do commercials and being freaking celebrities, quote. And now here they are down 0-2 in a series against a very hungry New York team that they beat in the playoffs last year. And, you know, there was some trash that was talked and a lot of commentary about New York and they weren't in it for each other and the whole deal. And now, you know, as the Aces are trying to maintain that hunger to attain a three-peat, they are coming up against a team that is not only hungrier than them, but better than them. And they're in an 0-2 hole because of it. It is like there are other issues in terms of execution, but those don't get to be talked about until you're playing your face off the way New York is. And Vegas is simply, Anthony, not doing that.
Yeah, I feel as though New York, this entire series, definitely has been the team that is going out there with something to prove. And I just feel like all season long, we've been waiting for Vegas to get in this groove, go on a winning streak. Which
they did at the end of the year, by the way, yeah, right? Yeah. Chelsea Gray finally got healthy, and they went 9-1 in their final 10 games.
Yeah, but I just feel as though even like, before, you know, the playoffs, before they went on that run, I just feel like the consistency and the continuity that we've been seeing from them just hasn't necessarily been there. And part of it, you know, they are playing through injuries. They said Chelsea's are obviously playing through an injury.
Yeah, she's coming back. She's still not 100% from the Achilles.
Yep.
It's been basically a year now. She suffered in the finals. Holly Rowe revealed last night that Jackie Young is battling through injury. Kelsey Plum was sick earlier in the playoffs. She just didn't play well last night.
Yep.
I think the Jackie one is the one that's so hard because I think a healthy Jackie Young has a bigger defensive impact on Sabrina Ionescu.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of wild to me to watch Jackie Young, who they talked about in the broadcast last night. Hey, Jackie, what's some of the things you like to do away from basketball? I like to lift weights. Take one look at Jackie Young and you're like, that makes sense. Jackie is built like a tank. She is a tank. She's super strong and they are feasting. They figured out some point we can post up Jackie Young, which like who are the hardest players to post up? Ones that you can't move. And Jackie should be that player. And she's just not. And it might be a right now thing because she's just doesn't feel like herself. But they are getting switches and posting her up. And that shouldn't be possible. And she's supposed to be one of the best defenders in the league. And that's mm-hmm. really hurting Vegas on top of some offensive inconsistency, although she was better in that department. I think Asia Wilson's largely been Asia Wilson. She hasn't been like 40-point Asia Wilson. And then the other thing that, you know, it needs to be pointed out is Stewie is absolutely killing anyone that's not Alicia. And Alicia Clark, my dear friend and multiple-time All-WA NBA defender, knows Stewie's game inside and out. They were teammates and won a couple championships together in Seattle. And it's funny because they like show this thing pregame and this package of plays and, oh, she did this to this defender, this to that defender, and they put up and you see like, oh, you know, she scored more points on Clark than anyone else. She was like 6 of 13. She was 6 of 11 against Alicia in game one, and she missed two shots against everyone else. She scored 34 points, and like 13 of the points were against Alicia, who was her primary defender. They were plus 5 in the minutes that Clark was on the floor, and Alicia was in foul trouble, and they were a minus 15 in the 15 minutes that she wasn't on the floor. And so she missed seven shots in game one, and 5 of them were against mm-hmm. one defender. And I'm like, y'all drew the wrong conclusion here. And you saw it yesterday. Alicia was on the floor and big, big, big discrepancy of the shots that Stewie makes when she's guarded by her. And like, that's not just me pumping up Alicia and saying like, hey, look, she's still great at this. It's saying like they need to have more. They can't just rely on one person to stop the other person's best player. And that's only one defender. Like they're not defending at the level that they defended at a championship level. They are too careless with the basketball on offense. And there's an intensity problem within that team right now that they now should be able to fix because their backs are against the wall. They have to win 3 in a row. Granted, 2 of them are at home. Series doesn't start till the road team wins. The thing is, in a best of 5, it also ends when the road team wins if they started 2-0. And that's where we're at in this series.
Yeah, I think it's going to be too much uphill battling for the Aces. Being down 2-0, man, like, it's tough to get out of one.
You can't
of those
make a mistake. And the Liberty yeah. are so good.
They're playing very well. Sabrina, like when she's scoring, it's really hard to beat them because also John Quayle's
been outstanding.
Exactly. They figured out a way to, you know, insulate her into the offense, make her more involved. And we already know Stewie's going to give us, you know, her buckets.
Yeah. So and the thing is, though, like here's my hope for Vegas. One, I hope with backs against the wall and champ and Becky. Now, I think that was strategic by Becky. Like, Becky going to the media being like, these punks better get their heads out of their rear ends and stop being celebrities. Like, Becky Hammon is also a bit of a celebrity. Like, she does TV during the... Like, mm-hmm. she knows her players real well, and there's a lot of respect there. She's not saying that if she's not trying to reach them, and she doesn't want to piss them off a little bit. So that's part one. Part two, role players tend to play better at home, and, like, Kayla Thornton hasn't missed in 2 games. Like, she's been incredible. And it's like, is that going to continue on the road? Or is, you know, Meg Gustafson going to come off the bench and hit 6 threes for Vegas in game 3? Like, that would be sweet. So that home road thing, I think they played well enough down the stretch to the Aces that I do wonder if that can be the difference. And then get this thing back to a game 5, then who knows? But it definitely feels like New York is I mean, look, they're up 2-0. Saying they're going to win the series isn't exactly a bold prediction. But they are motivated on a level that makes them the title favorites. Real quickly, I just want to mention the other series. We're unfortunately we're behind on time, if I'm being totally honest. But Nafisa Collier last night only scores 9 points and still is one of the most impactful players on the floor for the Minnesota Lynx. She was the runner-up for the MVP to Asia Wilson for a reason. She won Defensive Player of the Year for a reason. I know Asia very easily could have won that. But her impact on that game, despite only scoring 9, was so major. She is so good. and is just a driving force behind that Minnesota team who got a huge win to even that series at one. So Sun now go back home trying to defend home court. If they do, they win. If not, it will go back to Minnesota for a game five, I guess, unless Minnesota wins both games at Connecticut. Both those game fives are Friday night on the ESPN family of networks if you care to spend your Friday evening watching them. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, we will wrap things up with real things real people said into real microphones. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Tomorrow on the show, it's a Thursday. That means we got Dan Pizzuta coming on. We also have one of our colleagues from our sister station in Cleveland coming on the show to break down the Browns. We'll get into our Browns prep. What else we got tomorrow, Anthony? Never read the comments.
Oh, yep. Never read the comments.
Busy week in the comments.
The coordinators will be talking.
Yeah, Cliff and Joe Witt. So pick six at six will be coordinator style.
Dang,
that feels like most of the show.
Yeah, that pretty much is most of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See what other shenanigans we come up with. Never know. Didn't think I was going to do 100 push-ups today.
Well, I mean, that's what happens when you lose competition Wednesday.
Yeah, you would know.
I guess that one, I should have seen that one coming.
Yeah, you should have. So we're all squared away. Anthony, I made the fantasy sub a couple weeks ago. And then Anthony paid off his lunch today, and then I paid off my 100 push-ups, which if you really want to see them, we did capture in the commercial breaks on the YouTube stream. So you can go to the Team 980, search our live videos, and circle back to like 5:58 during the show, like 2 hours into the show, and you'll see me doing push-ups on the floor of the Team 980 studio. What was your favorite part of the show today, Anthony? I can't imagine what it possibly was.
Can I rub it in?
Sure.
Actually, no. I want to say my favorite part of the show was Clinton Yates' intro and when, you know, I was given my flowers.
You were given your flowers. You were given your flowers. You asked Clinton for a different Paramore song and you were able to get it. And he was very happy about that.
I think I might have to add that song to the playlist. That was my first time. I think that was my first time hearing it.
Really?
Yeah.
Which one was it again? It was
Still Into You.
Yeah, Still Into You. Because I was like, is it fun? Stuck in my head again.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a great song. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, Rachel does scream sing that song to me sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that song though.
It slaps. Paramore's great.
Yeah. I need more Paramore in my catalog.
Yeah. Misery Business is great.
Elite Bump.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, again, as I've told you before, you put on Misery Business, I'm running a lot faster.
Nice.
It's on the running playlist when I need to go fast. It's just something about it. Just gets you going. There's also, I think in that music video, like a monkey with cymbals deal.
Really?
Yeah, I think that's how the music video starts. It's kind of a funny bit. Anyway, so if you want to hear Clinton Yates, we also had a great discussion about Devontae, like a genuinely good, informative discussion about Devontae Adams and whether or not the Commanders should consider him. That is at 5 o'clock. You can check it out on the Hoffman Show podcast. And we, of course, put the clips on YouTube, too, at the Team 980 and at Craig Hoffman. And then after we tell you all that, we end the show like this.
Real things.
We're not gonna be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Anthony, what do you mean? Shrug. You gotta tell me what time the show ends.
Yeah,
I gotta know when to stop talking.
Yeah, for some reason the clock is off today. 1, 2, 3. And then that's 25, and then you add 15, so 3:40. So 56:20 today. This is odd, though.
Okay.
56:20.
That means I got two minutes and 20 seconds to see how many real things real people said in real microphones we can play. We're going to do a Heat Media Day edition because there's some funny stuff that came out of the Miami Heat's Media Day. Typically, one funny thing that comes out of Heat Media Day is Jimmy Butler's hair or his look. And he kind of plays a trick on everybody that they're going to have to use some goofy photo of him the rest of the year. Not this year, though.
What I had planned, but all my plans went to complete and utter not my way because of what has transpired. But I'm here.
normal hair, no shenanigans. That's all I got.
What did you want to do?
I don't even know. I don't even know. My mind isn't all the way anywhere right now. You know what I'm saying? I've been running around and trying to make it back here.
As you know, every May, Pat May.
So it sounds like, you know, sometimes you want to dress up for Halloween and you just can't figure out what it is.
Yep.
That happened to Jimmy Butler, except for instead of Halloween, it was media day.
I don't know what extreme he really could have gone to from the first two looks he had.
Yeah,
dreadlocks to a...
Yeah, to a like a goth look.
Yeah.
With the long, flat ironed hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he could have just done something like totally off the rip. The best media day in the last year, like Jimmy got outdone by Asia Wilson last year when she went with the silver wig on media day.
Yeah.
And speaking of Asia Wilson, she is dating Bam Adebayo, which is the worst kept secret in the basketball world. And Taylor Rooks, as she was interviewing Bam on Heat Media Day, had a little fun with that.
You had a great summer. I hope you have a great season. I think that your season will be amazing.
Y'all look amazing. Y'all look amazing.
Bye, Bam.
Bye.
Held up the amazing with the A apostrophe amazing, as in the A apostrophe at Asia Wilson and her branding. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I think people call that ingenuity. Like, that was very, very, very good.
It's well done by Taylor.
Yes.
It's well done by Taylor Rooks. Yeah, it's a terribly kept secret. Genuinely hysterical. Hope you guys enjoyed the show today. I did, except for the push-ups. We'll do a show with no push-ups tomorrow. See you then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.